sister's saying in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. It's about our house, and it's about us living there, and we don't want anyone else interfering with it. Bill Kuznichuk, town planner extraordinaire, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Darren.
Thanks for coming in. How's your Christmas New Year been?
It's been great. We're very lucky, so we're just nice and quiet. We spent all our time here in Melbourne, and it was good.
You get family. Down to the beach sometimes, though, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes. A long time ago, we used to get down to the beach. Don't go to the beach now. We head west.
Head west.
We head west.
Where to? Some mysterious location.
Yeah, mysterious location. But still in Victoria.
Yeah,
it's a great part. It's a great time of the year. As is Easter.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
For sure. And with the Australian Open on.
Yeah.
And you've got a bit of involvement down at the Tennis Centre, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm a trustee at the Melbourne Olympic Parks Trust, who are basically the custodians of that whole precinct.
Which is a great precinct. I remember when it was just footy ovals.
Yeah, about 40 hectares. But, I'm not making comments on behalf of the trust. But it is a great precinct. It's a great place for people because not only have you got the tennis, you've got venues, you've got live entertainment, you've got open space, you've got Collingwood Football Club and the Gosh's Paddock. That's part of the precinct.
You've got good public transport access. You can get the train to Jollymont.
Oh, it's incredible.
Walk through the MCG, bang, you're there.
It's incredible.
But Richmond, walk across the road, you're there.
Yeah, and just the numbers that the numbers that are attending over the AO is amazing.
It is. And thanks to John Cain for doing all that. John Cain Arena. He was the premier that had the foresight to, if we don't build a new tennis centre, we're going to lose the Australian Open.
Well, we talk about this when we talk about planning, you know, when we say, look, you've got to sometimes just bite the bullet and say, listen, we've got a commitment to this vision. This is what we need. This is what we can plan for. And he did that all those years ago.
Yeah.
And then another stadium, then outside courts.
Yeah.
Then other links. Then, you know, so all sorts of things happened in that precinct as a consequence of his vision.
Will there be more development down there, do you think, or is it just about reached its peak? And something new goes up every year that changes it.
I reckon inevitably there will be.
Yeah.
I reckon there will be.
Okay.
Because, yeah, a facility like that always needs to evolve.
Yeah, just keep on developing it.
Well, always needs to. They might be subtle things of connections for people to walk in and out.
Bridge here, access area there.
All that sort of stuff.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's fantastic. So very, very pleased to be on the board.
If you've got any questions for Bill, the number is 133693, whether it be planning, whether it be the environment in which you live, street access, anything to do with councils, that's your speed, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, yeah.
Appropriate development, that's what you're passionate about, getting things done. So the number 133693, any questions for Bill, that is the number to call. Crown Land, how does that work? Like if a park is a park,
yeah,
it will always remain a park, won't it?
Well,
or will it?
It's effectively owned by the Crown and managed by state government authorities.
Right.
And that Crown land is normally maintained for a specific purpose, and that might be a rail corridor, or it might be a wetlands, or it might be, you know, a specific area of public open space.
Yeah.
So if there's any change in that, that change can only come as a result of that Crown land being either divested in their interest, which is very unusual. It's very unusual for that to happen because, you know, once you divest your interest in that public land, it's hard then to repurchase other public land to do private land to do something with. So it's always a last sort of option for governments. But the thing about Crown land is that it can be leased to Darren James, who wants to run goats on it somewhere out at Broadford or something like that.
You've heard about my goat project.
So you can lease it out. So you can get a crown. You can get a crown land lease, and I think the maximum lease term is something like 30 years or something.
Yeah, right. Interesting. The other one I wanted to mention to you, I went for a push bike ride up north along underneath, what do they call it, where the train line goes above the ground?
The viaduct.
The train line. It's not bad. The bypass underneath it, I don't know whether it's like to live in the area with them up above you, but I think it's been a bit of a success.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
I think so. And I think don't forget that these are massive pieces of infrastructure that are shaping the city. So, you know, when you start installing them, there's all sorts of checks and balances and things like visual amenity, things like noise, things like operational maintenance, all those sort of things. You see, isn't it smart to be able to provide a useful corridor underneath the viaduct
so that
you've got people, whether they're micro transport, whether they're scooters, bikes, that sort of stuff, or people just enjoying areas of public open space that often are developed as part of that, you know, crossing removal.
For sure. Yeah, no, I liked it. It was a good bike path. Mm. Calls coming out. We're getting a lot through, Bill. 133-693. There's still a little bit of room on the board if you want to call through for a question, whether it be about planning, development, something in your area, your neighbourhood. 133-693. Give us a ring now.
Traffic. Missed something? Click on audio and hear it all at 3aw.com.au.
Hey there, Louis Zacker from the Department of Transport and Planning. Several sets of traffic lights out in Rosanna along Rosanna Road, Station Road and Banyel Street. Drive through the intersections as though you have a stop or a giveaway sign. Proceed with caution and watch out for technicians working to restore the fault. And on the Jacksons Road entry ramp to the Monash Freeway, there's been a collision. Victoria Police attending. Red and blue flashing lights means you need to slow down to 40 kilometres an hour. Drive with caution.
How can you make Melbourne's number one station sound even better? Download the 3AW app to your smartphone or stream on your PC. 3aw.com.au.
The weekend break.
I mean, I'm pouring a bourbon. Yeah. I'm bringing it over to you. The place is rocking. It's not a bad night out.
It's a square cut glass.
Of course it is.
With Peter Grubby Stubbs.
So also the other band I do enjoy listening to in the car, Blood, Sweat and Tears.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday and Sunday from midday.
Can you get pulled over for playing air trombone at the traffic lights by a cop?
I don't think anyone wants to.
Hang on.
God, I'm uncomfortable.
On 3AW 693.
If you have a noisy neighbourhood, the place to call is Magnetite. Is your home like a sauna in summer and you're cranking up the air conditioner and it's costing you a lot of money? The place to call, Magnetite. It'll help save you money when it comes to heating and cooling. It's very cost effective. It's a quick and easy solution and will help keep your home cooler in summer without those big air conditioning costs. And no, it doesn't require stocking up on ice blocks. All you do need to do is call Magnetite and they will fit panels to your existing windows that will reduce your energy costs because it keeps the heat out and it will help save 60% on those costs and will help reduce noise pollution by up to 70%. Fairly significant. Magnetite, it's retrofit double glazing. It's not a film and they use top grade optical acrylic, which is 6 times better for thermal insulation than glass. And you can call them today for a quote. Magnetite, the word magnet with an ITE on the end. That's magnetite.com.au.
Get that E&S feeling with a $500 E&S voucher to be won weekly with Ross and Russ's Peak of the Week. Plus, you could win the $25,000 major prize to spend in-store at E&S. Peak of the Week for E&S, Fridays on 3AW Breakfast.
For the best roof in town, Harley & Sons won't let you down.
For the best roof in town, Harley & Sons are the tradies you can trust. When Harley's Sons turn up all muscles and smiles, you know your roof is in safe hands. Roofing, guttering, tiling and colourbond, Harley & Sons get the job done on time and budget with the famous Harley guarantee on all our work. Get an inspection today. Search for Harley Roofing or visit harleyroofing.com.au.
For the best roof in town, Harley & Sons won't let you down.
We won't let you down.
Michelle Bishop here. Aussies love giving things a go, so why not give NatureBee Power Pollen a go with this special Australia Day offer? That's a 6-month supply of NatureBee Power Pollen, plus a bonus 1-month supply and a lip balm, all for only $160 plus delivery. A potent power pack of micronutrients, including 27 vitamins and aminos, 28 minerals, and rich in antioxidants. Give Power Pollen a go risk-free this Australia Day. Order now at naturebee.com.
No matter what you do, do it with Grunt. Now, on a working crew, what do you do when you're tying down a load?
I use Grunt.
What do you buy when there's a rope you got to tie?
I buy Grunt.
When you're cleaning up a building site, what bags do you use for the mess?
Grunt, mate.
Yeah, well, you've got to use the best.
So head to Bunnings Warehouse, mate. You'll get the job done. Grunt is great. No matter what you do.
There's nothing tougher.
Embark on an unrivaled experience on board the world's most luxurious fleet with Regent Seven Seas Cruises. For a limited time, receive a free two-category suite upgrade with a 7.5% reduced deposit across every destination, with savings up to 50% on selected voyages. Your all-inclusive journey awaits, from unlimited shore excursions to premium beverages and specialty dining. T&Cs apply. To enjoy an elevated experience with Regent Seven Seas Cruises, visit rsse.com or contact your travel advisor.
In the home, thanks to ENS, the kitchen, bathroom and laundry experts. Hurry into one of their 9 showrooms today. They won't be beaten on price. A summer of cricket update, thanks to Honda Power Equipment. Get your garden on with Honda's lawn and garden power equipment range.
Wow, exciting stuff at the cricket. Not, it finished yesterday. Australia won by 10 wickets, Bill. They smashed the West Indies.
They did.
James joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Darren. Hi, Bill. How are you going? Good to hear you back on the airwaves again.
Thanks, James.
It's relating to front fences and covenants. So over 1.2, you need a building permit.
Yeah.
By for report and consent. We go back and there's a covenant where the fence can't exceed 1.2. So 3 questions. Does the covenant have a sunset clause in it? B, can it be removed, and finding the original developer is like finding needles in a haystack?
Yeah.
Could you offer any advice on that, please?
Yeah, the short answer, James, is that a covenant can have a sunset clause on it, but very rarely do they.
What's a sunset clause again?
In other words, it means something lasts for a limited time.
Oh, yeah, and then the sunset.
A regulation, a control, and then it sets over the horizon.
I'm glad I'm not a town planner.
Anyway, so... It can be, and it sounds like you might be in a situation where you're in a relatively new estate and the developers often introduce covenant controls so that they can influence the design of buildings, the appearance of buildings, whether that be in terms of roof design, building design, colours, textures, all that sort of stuff. So that covenant will come to an end, but that you'll be able to determine that by doing a title search, right? Because all that sort of information is available online. So I would be checking that in the first instance. The answer to the second part of your question is that, yes, you can get covenants removed and varied. Variation of covenants is often an easier thing to do than a complete removal. And it's a high bar to try and get over in terms of varying a covenant, because if you live next door to Bill and Darren and we have the same covenant, we might say, listen, we like the idea of the covenant because it means that the neighbourhood looks really spick and span and looks fantastic. Now you want to change it and put 3 units on it, James, we oppose it. So that then means that you've got an additional hurdle to confront. And so it's hard work removing the covenant, but yeah, you're welcome to email us and we can see whether we can help.
It's very kind of you, Bill, and good to hear you again. Thank you very much.
And James, Mark has a question for you.
Left or right, James, where are you going?
He wants to know if you're turning left or right.
He's on stationary.
He's stationary. Yes. Oh.
Great answer, James.
That's the answer.
Nice one, James.
And who cares? I care. I know you do.
Great answer.
You're a caring person. Barry, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Darren and Bill. Thanks for the call. My question is about a crossover built a house 27 years ago. We had the crossover taken out with a new development and put in the driveway and crossover continuous in faux brick concrete finish. The concrete's now all broken. Asked the councillors, could I replace the crossover? They said yes, but it must be in plain concrete. I wanted to use exposed aggregate all the way. It's from the garage down to the boundary line is 4.7 metres. From there, the crossover is 4.3. It would look a little bit out of place.
Yep.
Why can't I have exposed aggregate, or why couldn't I go back to the original faux brick finish?
And the reason being, Barry, is that you've got a council that says that they want uniformity in those crossovers. And on that basis, there'll be an engineer at council saying, listen, this is the uniform standard for the crossover, and you know how it works in terms of that crossover. Its width, it's the material of construction. All the sort of things that council are interested in, and that's why they don't want to do it. It depends. It also depends on you know what's the immediate characteristic in the neighbourhood. Are there different types of crossovers, or are they all uniform?
Yes. Up the end of the court, the crossovers are brick paved.
Oh well, there you go. There you go. That's
all
where
the other driveways have weathered and look like aggregate anyway.
I'd be getting. Why don't you speak to your councillor? Speak to your councillor, Barry. And just say, listen, I've hit a brick wall literally here. I want to do this. I'm being told I can't. Yet everyone else is doing it.
Yeah, good call.
And treat it that way.
Thanks, Barry. To Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question on the granny flat, the relaxed rules. Should the neighbours be consulted prior to construction? Can it be a DIY project? Can it be a two-storey, tiny, narrow two-storey containers? Separate entry needed or not?
The answer to your questions, Michael, are that the granny flat can be... is permissible without the need for there to be a planning permit. Therefore, there's no requirement for consent or any objection or requests for objections or notification to be given in relation to granny flats that comply, provided they comply with the site area requirements and also the area of the granny flat, which must not exceed 60 square metres. And there are limitations on setbacks and heights and all of those things. So those limitations are there deliberately to avoid inappropriate off-site impacts onto adjoining properties. So the granny flat... It can be of a design that might be, as you put it, taller and skinnier. However, you still have to meet the setback requirements, etc. To say side fences is a perfect example. When you say that, do we need a separate access for that granny flat? The answer to that is that you can construct that granny flat, and you should provide an appropriate means of access to that granny flat. So a sense of address for that granny flat. And the interesting thing about the provisions is that now we're talking about granny flats. They're actually small second dwellings, but they were known as granny flats. But the interesting thing is that they could only be for a dependent person. That was a member of the family. Now you can build a second small dwelling on your property under these guidelines, provided that you meet these guidelines, and you can rent that out to a person who's unrelated to you.
Mm.
So and the granny flat and the second dwelling does not require a car park, for example. So there's all sorts of advantages in it. And look, let's face it, it's a separate form of accommodation where people can either, particularly if you've lived in the neighbourhood for a long time and you want to downsize, particularly if you want to have the benefit of the use of the the rear yard instead of putting running the Victor over 900 square metres of land, that sort of stuff. So good luck with it, Michael.
Good on you, Michael. That's an older term, isn't it? And some would say that the term granny is being ageist. It's being offensive to older people that are grandparents. It's being sexist. It's a granny. Why doesn't the grandfather get a mention? You know what I'm saying?
Grandfather flats.
Grandfather flats. Grandpa flats. Hey, granny. Hey, grandpa. Hey, grandpa. We've got to take a break here, Bill. 26 past 10.
This new year at E&S, elevate your home with big savings on Fisher & Paykel. For a limited time only, save up to $400 on selected Fisher & Paykel dish drawers and save up to $1,000 on selected Fisher & Paykel cooking appliances. Plus, get up to another 15% off selected Fisher & Paykel kitchen packages. Our consultants are Fisher & Paykel experts, and we won't be beaten on price. So visit one of our 9 showrooms today or shop online and get the E&S feeling with Fisher & Paykel. Sale on now.
The Catalano's summer sale is on now. Dive into big savings with up to 70% off the entire Catalano furniture range. Bring home the pieces you need for easy Australian living, elevated with the zest of Italian style. Summer can't last forever, so don't miss this chance to refresh your living space with up to 70% off store-wide. Save big this season at the Catalano summer sale. Visit one of our 5 showrooms or shop online at catalanointeriors.com.au. It's furniture Australiano.
With the cost of living getting out of control,
unlock the superhero in us with Unified Energy and take charge by going solar today. Help avoid rising energy costs with our super solar packages. Install today and pay later with our zero upfront finance option, 25-year product warranty and a 10-year workmanship guarantee. Get a free quote now. unifiedenergy.com.au.
To approve customers, conditions, fees and charges apply.
Keep your home cool this summer and reap the rewards. Add magnetite to your windows and you can reduce cooling costs by up to 60%. Magnetite is retrofit double glazing, not a film. Visit magnetite.com.au.
Magnetite. Your ultimate driving machine awaits you at Essendon BMW. Explore the outstanding selection of in-stock vehicles ready for immediate delivery. With an on-site business manager and vehicle appraiser ready to assist you, Essendon BMW are dedicated to optimising your trade-in value and financial advantages. Conveniently situated in Essendon Fields, the dealership offers a seamless experience when exploring the range of vehicles. Begin your journey to sheer driving pleasure and visit Essendon BMW today.
LMCT 11803.
Don't just get any old mattress and cross your fingers. There's only one award-winning Sleeping Duck mattress that Australia loves and comes with a system to get the comfort perfect for you in your very own home. Get it perfect at sleepingduck.com.
It's holiday time, and that means it's time to barbecue. So set yourself up with everything Weber at Heat and Grill. Find the complete Weber range, including the exclusive Weber Q Premium, Pulse Electric, Premium Gas, and the classic Weber Kettle. Plus a fabulous range of quality outdoor furniture, shelter umbrellas, Weber accessories, outdoor kitchens, and more. So what are you waiting for? Discover everything Weber and more at Heat and Grill, Bridge Road, Richmond, or their High Point store, Hampstead Road, Maidstone.
No matter what you do, do it with grunt. If you're tying up or tying down, you want the toughest tie around. Do it with grunt. If you're cleaning up on a building site, use the bag that doesn't write. Do it with grunt. For the garden, on the truck or boat, use the toughest cord or rope. So head to Bunnings Warehouse, mate. You'll get the job done. Grunt is great. No matter what you do, do it with grunt.
There's nothing tougher.
Yes, there is nothing tougher. Now, it's a great job that you've done, Bill, at Clemens Stone Town Planners. Now, it started way back when you thought, I'll go out on my own here and start a company called Clemens Stone. Now, what will I call it? You didn't have a name then. You thought, Mrs. Clement, she said once to me, you're never going to make anything of yourself, Bill. As a tribute to you, Miss Clement, who gave you a clip behind the ears, tell me if I'm wrong at any stage, Bill. You thought, stone, it's strong, it's a stone, it's made of stone. It's a good sound, Clemens Stone, and that's why you got the name.
That was it in 89.
35 years you've been doing it across Melbourne and regional Victoria.
Mm.
You would have seen it all.
Yeah.
Big buildings? What sort of big story buildings have you been involved with?
Oh, mate, the number of projects you do is just bewildering over time.
That's right.
Because there's nothing, you know, even you're providing advice on all sorts of things.
Yeah.
everywhere. You know, some of the most interesting ones that I've done have been, you know, things that I like the challenges. Did you remember Sam Newman's Facade?
Oh yeah, Pamela Stevenson, Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Well, we acted for Sam in relation to that.
Yeah, and won.
And the council said, in my boardroom, there's the article in the Herald Sun where it says, tear it down, and it was Sam's face in the.
Oh, that was good.
And credit to him, he said, "All right, let's stick at it, and we'll go to appeal, and we won."
And you won, and you know what? To this day, it's still there, and it suits what there is along that Canterbury Road facade, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I reckon it works.
It does. They were all those very small town houses that backed onto the light rail.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Hmm. This is what Clement Stone is all about. If you need a town planner, this is a paid commercial by Bill. He loves the station and is spending money here. Townplanners.com.au, Clement Stone Town Planners. Give them a call, 9334 2060, 9334 2060, for Clement Stone Town Planners.
In the home, thanks to ENS, the kitchen, bathroom and laundry experts. Hurry into one of their 9 showrooms today. They won't be beaten on price. This Australian Open update, thanks to Telstra. Telstra home internet is more reliable than family.
And to Shane McInnes, updating us at the Australian Open. Shane, good to see you.
Hey, good morning to you, DJ. Morning, Bill. Yesterday was a great day for Australia, getting Alex de Minaur through to the fourth round. Never progressed past the fourth round here previously, Darren. That will be his modus operandi tomorrow when he takes on Andrei Rublev. You'd expect that match to be prime time tomorrow night. Busy day coming up here at Melbourne Park. It's traditionally the busiest day of the Australian Open, the middle Saturday. 95,000 could well be in the precinct. Whoa. Come around 6 o'clock tonight. Carlos Alcaraz won the headline acts, the world number 2. He's playing some great tennis at the moment. So too, Iga Swiatek, the world number 1 on the women's side of the draw. She is in action. And a little bit later today, Daniel Medvedev, fresh from finishing at 3:40 yesterday morning. He'll feature tonight against Canada's Félix Auger-Aliassime.
Okay, have you spotted our girl at any stage, anywhere in the precinct, the Demons' better half?
Katie Bolton, no, I haven't seen her, haven't caught up with her. What was it, about 5 years ago?
Well, we became besties with her, you and I.
We did.
She was single and we were fighting over her a bit, remember? We came to blows.
Oh, Sally, if you're listening, no, we weren't fighting over Katie Bolton.
KJ, if you're listening, we were.
Then who would have thought that she'd choose a tennis player?
I know, when she had the choice of you or me.
Correct.
What happened?
What happened indeed?
Anyway, just if you see her, pass on my best.
I will. I know she's a big fan of gardening in particular, yeah. So I'll make sure I pass on your regards.
Right, thanks. That is Shane McInnes live from the Australian Open. Bill Kuznichuk is here from Clement Stone Town Planners. Sal, good morning.
Good morning.
Sal, how can
good
we
Good morning,
help?
Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Bill,
we had a subdivision created next door about 12 years ago, and the new residents moved in about 5 or 6 months ago, and I've lost count now of how many times we've seen their faces looking down at what is our private open space from the upstairs window. Windows, there's two that face directly across our private open space. The windows are 1,500 at the window sill. They're over 2 metres wide and about 600 high. They are fog glass, but what we realise now is when they open the windows, it's a clear and unobstructed view,
yeah,
straight into our private space.
Yeah. And there's also the silhouette. I was never a fan and never have been a fan of the glass simply being treated. There's many other ways to protect privacy, properly designed metal fins attached to the window that look up and provide daylight and ventilation still for the subject site, but also protection of privacy for adjoining properties. So, just a quick one: how far away would you estimate those windows to be from your principal area of open space?
Oh, the boundary fence would only be within 2.5 metres.
All right, okay, because there's a rule under Res Code in relation to the issue that you're talking about, and that number is set at 9 metres, and then there's a criteria that you use to determine whether or not that's going to cause an impact. So, look, send an email in to to us at townplanners.com.au.
That's info@townplanners.com.au.
And I'll get one of them. I might even call you, Sal, but we'll get someone to give you a call.
Check it out. Thanks for that to Annette. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Annette?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem is my daughter and son-in-law have just recently bought a house, and the back fence is being held together with string, and people have been fixing it, mm-hmm. temporarily fixing it, and it needs replacing. And they've been to the residents on the other side of their fence to get a, ask about is it all right if they get it replaced, and there are units. And everyone in the units pay a body corporate, but nobody knows how to get in touch with the body corporate. There's
all right. Annette, when you go for a walk, and what you've got to do is you will see that if there are a number of units, more than three, they're required in Victoria to have an owner's corporation.
On the front of the property, isn't it?
Spot on, DJ. Yeah. And that's where you'll find an identification of the owner's corporation.
What if there's one not there?
If there's one not there, what you need to do is to get in touch with Consumer Affairs, give the address of the property and say, there is not one there.
Uh-huh.
And in the meantime, can you give us the details of the owner's corporation, because we want the back fence fixed because it's a safety issue and a privacy issue.
Yeah.
So you'll get that sorted, Annette.
A back fence held together with string doesn't sound that flash.
No, it does not.
Thanks, Annette. To Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Darren and Bill. We have a situation where we live in a complex land environment, and we've been told by a council worker that there was a problem on a neighbouring property, but we have not been notified by the council about this issue. I'm just wondering what the obligations of a council are to neighbouring properties if there is a problem that could potentially affect others.
Yeah, I don't have enough information for you, if you were to tell me what we're talking about. So my mind's going everywhere from, site contamination to landslips.
We're talking about a sinkhole.
Yeah, okay, all right. So what you need to do with the council is make sure that you've got a continuous dialogue with them in relation to this sinkhole, because there's a reason why that sinkhole has appeared, and often that will be as a consequence of man touching it. In other words, construction works getting done, inadequate fill being placed on a site, change in the topography where there's a shift in soil. So you're going to have to find out precisely what the nature of the problem is, and then you need to, and I don't know how close this sinkhole is to your property or any asset that you might have, but you also need to, in the meantime, what you should be doing is speaking to your insurance company and taking photographs of this sinkhole so that there's a record of what has happened. It's very important you do that, because
we can't, we have no visibility. It's quite covered. We can't see what's going on.
Yeah, but if you go down to the council and say, look, I just want to show you this sinkhole, they'll get it up on their satellite imagery, and then you can just ask them for a copy of that.
Right, okay.
Get that info. Yeah, sorry.
The council have been involved, the council have not informed anybody, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They have certainly not informed us about what's going on.
Well, Jenny, and that's the reason why I asked for the information, because this this will determine how the council handles it. Because if it's a building project adjoining you and there's been works carried out to construct a building, or a building is under construction and that sinkhole has appeared, then the municipal building surveyor of the council will want to know about that, and then you should be informed about that. And if you're not informed about that, you've got the avenue to go back to the Victorian Building Authority and make that formal complaint, and then get some action on it that way. But it's a question of what has occurred and where it's occurred, what the circumstances are.
Thanks, Jenny. To Mitra, good morning.
Good morning, Darren and Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is regarding a property that we would like to purchase to build our own home. It actually has a house on it, and it's been advertised as a house and land, but the house is completely inhabitable.
Mm-hmm.
It is dilapidated, and it just needs to be knocked down. When we purchase that, would it be subject to stamp duty, or could we? Would it be considered as a land, as a block?
Oh no, no! It'll be considered as it'll be valued by the council's valuer or contractor on behalf of the council. It'll be valued on the basis that there is an existing structure on it, and it would also take into account the land. One thing you need to bear in mind, Mitra, is that if you're going to purchase it and you should be, if it's purchased out of auction, out of an auction environment, you should make that contract conditional upon being able to demolish the home, unless you can satisfy yourself prior to purchasing it that there are no heritage overlays, there are no other restrictions that might end up giving you a headache with that home not being able to be demolished. Do you follow what I mean by that?
Yes, I understand.
Very
yes.
important. Yeah. Very important to make those inquiries. You can do that with the council. If you want to go into the council, you can also do that online. But I would make those inquiries, because you might say it's inhabitable, and you might be right, but then the planning scheme might say it's a protected home.
Well, they're thinking of actually demolishing themselves prior to selling.
Sorry to interrupt, but if the vendor, the current owner, is thinking about demolishing it prior to selling, then that's a different story. Then that's a headache you might avoid. Mm. So if you're happy for it to be demolished as a prospective purchaser, and the vendor, the owner, is going to demolish it, then all you need to do is think about what sort of offer you should be making.
Thanks for the call at 17 to 11.
Traffic. Your phone's not smart until you download the 3AW app.
Hey there, Louis Zacker from the Department of Transport and Planning. On the ramp from Jackson's Road to the Monash Freeway and Eastlink, there's been a collision. Victoria Police attending. Vic Road's Incident Response Service crew is also there. Please drive with caution. Speeds at 40 kilometres an hour for their safety. And several sets of traffic lights out in Rosanna along Rosanna Road. If you come across an intersection where traffic lights are blacked out or flashing, treat it as though you have a stop or a give way sign and drive with caution.
Connect with Melbourne's number one radio station online. Listen live, watch live, have your say, and hear podcasts of your favourite shows. 3aw.com.au.
Now, everyone is different, and not one mattress suits all. You'd sleep in a king, wouldn't you, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look at us. You know, we're not going to be in a single, are we? Yeah, Blake's our age.
No.
You know,
that's the most polite way of putting it.
That's right. I have no further questions, Your Honour. That's why you can get a custom-built bed, like a king size or a king extra, or the biggest bed you want. Like, they'll build one that's never been built before. They customise mattresses to suit your needs. Who are they? I'm talking about Alan and David Beck. John Beck had a son, and his name was Alan. Alan had a son, his name's David. And it's three generations of bed-making craftsmanship, and it's not just some other lackeys they employ. Alan and David make the beds themselves. They'll sit you down and get your requirements, and you know, you pay good money and you get the best bed ever. We've had two in our lifetime, and they've got bigger each one we've bought. They've had to, Bill. I wanted a real small one so we'd be, you know, action.
It'd be cozy.
Yeah, cozy. But now, big as you can get, I reckon. Do you know what I'm saying? 94 84 34 34. Go and have a chat to them. You'll find out what it's like. BECKS, that's bexbedding.com.au. Custom bedding delivered to you.
Looking to upgrade your fridge this summer? At ENS, we have a huge range of the world's biggest brands. Our consultants can help you choose the right fridge for your needs. Whether this means superior food preservation, reducing waste, energy efficiency, saving you money, or just the perfect fit for every space, we'll deliver it for free. Set it up and remove your old fridge and recycle it. And we still won't be beaten on price. So visit us today or shop online and get the ENS feeling.
Richie's IGA Hot Summer Sale is now on. Tip Top Cafe Raisin Toast, 650 grams, $3.60. That's half price. Tip Top Rolls, six pack, just $4. KRC ham off the bone. Now $25 per kilo. Save $11 per kilo. And KRC shortcut bacon, 630 gram packs, only $9.75.
I'm Bill Kuznichuk, Managing Director of Clementstone Town Planners. Whether it's a planning or building problem at council or VCAT, my team can help. We're experts in our field and have been providing professional advice for over 35 years. We oppose inappropriate development. We can help secure planning permits for building extensions, apartments, and everything that needs approval. We give advice on pre-purchase of property and development feasibility, and we sort out building disputes. To arrange a no-obligation discussion, go to townplanners.com.au.
In the home, thanks to ENS, the kitchen, bathroom and laundry experts. Hurry into one of their 9 showrooms today. They won't be beaten on price.
And to Mary, good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Morning, gents. Thank you, Bill, for your time, your wealth of knowledge, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a planning permit with the council. It's only at that first stage. I still have to do the waste management and the landscape design stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had so much problems with the council. It took 19 months to get to that stage.
Yeah.
I'm not happy also with the architect. My first question is, how long have I got, because I haven't done anything now in 12 months,
mm-hmm.
how long have I got before I'm forced to continue with that and then, like, it won't be valid anymore?
Mary, councils will generally limit planning permits to 2 years. Normal planning permits, I'm talking about you wanting to build a new a dual occupancy or something, whatever it might be, it'll be 2 years and you'll have to act on it within that time. But are you telling me that the things that you need to get done, you already have you have an existing permit that has a date on it, correct?
Well, no, it's not that planning permit isn't ticked yet. I still have to do the waste management and the landscape.
Okay, all right. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you had the permit and that both of those plans needed to be submitted and approved by the council, which often happens. So, look, what do you need to do? Send an email to us at townplanners.com.au and we'll have a look at it for you. But the short answer is that... You're in the process now of providing further information to the council. So the council most probably requested of you at some point in time further information, the waste management plan, a landscaping plan, whatever it might have been. So you need to get in touch with your council and you need to speak with the planner who may have considered that application preferably or still be considering it, and just say to them, look, I've got a whole range of issues that I need to get sorted out. I am intending to get this completed, but it's just taking a little bit longer than I thought. Please don't take any action on refusing this permit because at this stage we think it's the proposal's worthy of support and we'll provide that information to you in the course of the next few months. That's what I'd be saying. Because that way, Mary, you're talking directly to the planner who's handling the application and you're saying, can you give us a bit of time, give us a break, because we need to gather this information and we've got a range of other uses outside the council process that we need to sort out.
Thanks, Mary. To Paul, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, team. We've got a place down the country and we've had a back fence we've been looking at for the last 25 years. 3 metres inside of our back fence towards our property is a road easement.
Yep.
Now, the people have bought this place below us and they've had it surveyed to get an electrical pit put in and they've found the boundary is out by 5 metres on one side of that block down to 1 metre. So it's a big wedge.
Yep.
So they've basically just come along and said, look, we're just going to chuck a wedge in here, put a new fence up. Power company's got a service, underground power, that runs through this, what was his easement.
Yeah.
I heard there's rules or regulations as far as the property that it was pegged obviously wrong way back in the day when they used the old methods, and it's miles out now. I mean, they re-fenced it about 5 years ago. Is there any recourse for that, or is it that's what we're looking at now?
No, what you need to do is just get a thorough understanding of the timing of all of this, because, I mean, if you're trying to make an adverse possession claim, then that that claim is something you should pursue if you feel strongly about it. And adverse possession is normally occupancy of the land for a period of 15 years or more. But if there was an easement there, and it was an easement that was, it would have been an easement vested in the Crown, it would have been leased to someone else, and now it's been sold to someone else, you just need to think about what the likely success would be of you making such a claim. So what I would be doing if it was my property is making those initial inquiries about the adverse possession. It's a shame that you missed out on being able to purchase it at that time. This is the second time I've heard this exact story. So be mindful of that someone else has got it and they might want to just fence it off. You need to think about what type of standard of fencing and make sure that you're not paying for any of that fencing if ultimately they're going to fence off that section. Ask the question about who's going to maintain the intervening area, because you're going to have a 3-metre area and no one will be, you're going to have to jump fences and get on a whippersnapper to try and keep it tight.
Yeah. Bill, this is serious. Robin has emailed me. I'm not kidding here. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Hi, Darren. This is true. Can you please ask Bill his wash car method with the kerosene?"
Okay.
It's because every Saturday, if you haven't heard Bill before, Saturday afternoon for relaxation, he washes his cars.
Yes, and I heard you earlier about the best smells.
Oh, yeah.
When you were speaking with Emily.
Yeah.
Number one for me was car wax.
Oh.
But like it's got the Canuba in it, you know, like the surfboard.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
And followed by kerosene when I'm washing the car. So just put...
Hang on, the kerosene goes on second.
No,
the other way around.
No,
yeah.
It was second, number two in my vote of...
So first, nice. You wash it with a...
No. The only reason why I mentioned best smell is the Canuba wax.
Ah.
Anything with Canuba in it is magnificent. Smells great.
You know, I agree.
They put on, apply on surfboards. Anyway, the answer to the question is just lukewarm water.
Yeah. Half a bucket?
Half a bucket or thereabouts. Put two or three capfuls in.
Of kerosene?
Yes, of kerosene.
Just normal kerosene?
Normal kerosene. And then I use a microfiber cloth. I have two separate ones. Use the microfiber cloth. Once you've hosed the car down, got any sort of surface material off it, you know, like leaves and dirt and anything that could scratch the Duco, hose it down, then you can apply it. I apply it everywhere. I even apply it around the rubbers because it keeps them nice and black and they keeps them lubricated and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I even do the windows. There used to be times when I'd drive from Shepparton to Melbourne and it'd be raining and I didn't have to put my wipers on.
Whoa.
Because
it repels off.
I don't know whether I'm supposed to say that. I'm not sure. Someone will give me a call.
That's all right.
But, so do that. And then if you'll know if you've applied too much because it starts to get really smoky.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is then just go and wash it again with the same microfiber cloth and you'll be fine. And it's a great polish. It really gets the gunk off the car and great detailer for me.
Beautiful. There it is. There's your method. Thanks for your email, Robin. Bill Kuznichuk is here, but not for much longer, at 6 to 11.
Tom Elliott. Rental crisis that is enveloping Melbourne, indeed enveloping all of Australia.
Mornings from 8:30.
You know, landlords are greedy and they're putting up the rents and this is a terrible thing to do. Now, there may well be some greedy landlords out there who take advantage of the situation and put up rents. But let me tell you this. If you're struggling to get a rent, you know, an affordable rental property because you need somewhere to live, don't blame the landlord. Blame the federal government, blame the state government, and blame your respective local government.
On Melbourne's own 3AW.
This new year at E&S, you can elevate your home with big savings on Fisher & Paykel. So if you're building or renovating, step into an E&S showroom today and see for a limited time only how much you can save. In fact, they'll tell you, you can save up to $400 on selected Fisher & Paykel dish drawers. Interesting. Save another $1,000 on selected Fisher & Paykel cooking appliances, plus another 15% on Fisher & Paykel kitchen packages. At E&S, their consultants are all Fisher & Paykel experts, and they will not be beaten on price. Visit one of their 9 showrooms today or shop online. Rob, great man. If you're not happy, he's not happy. Any issues, they fix it. That's the deal at E&S, and they will not be beaten on price. Rob says it with a laugh, but I say it more seriously because I think it's a serious business. He'll say, and we won't be beaten on price. Rob, stop laughing. It's serious.
That was very good.
Thanks. It should be. And we will not. We will not, I repeat, not be beaten on price. That's the way I do it. Anyway, that's not my business. ENS.com.au.
Unexpected item in bagging area.
No, there isn't.
Unexpected item in bagging area.
Oh, shut up. Wait, there's a KFC, and they're doing a $4.95 slider filler. Shut up and take my money!
Not everywhere and not forever. Only until 4 p.m. pick-up only.
I'm Bill Kuznachuk, Managing Director of Clementstone Town Planners. Whether you have a town planning, building or development problem with neighbours, councils or VCAT, my team can help. At Clementstone Town Planners, we'll give you the information you need and how to assist in solving your problem so you know where you stand. We'll fight for you to help protect your property, privacy, amenity and peace and quiet in your street. Success tells our story since 1989. So arrange a no-obligation discussion today at townplanners.com.au.
In the home, thanks to E&S, the kitchen, bathroom and laundry experts, hurry into one of their 9 showrooms today. They won't be beaten on price.
Time for Peter, Paul, Peter, Bill, good morning. Peter, Paul and Mary, I'm thinking. Hi, Peter.
Peter, Paul, there's no Mary.
No Mary.
Good morning, Bill. You were kind enough to ring me on Christmas Eve day before you raced off to your sparkling white and oysters about my battle with the city of Boroondara and their tree causing $5,000 damage to my private land and house. I'm still in that escalation of interrogating them on the liability of which they won't even pick up the phone and talk to me about it, but just continue to send me the letters of deniability, with the latest statement being they own 115,000 trees, and it wouldn't be reasonable expectation for them to inspect every tree.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
No, this is the letter I've got. You asked me to keep in touch.
There's teams.
I tell you what.
Well, Peter, I'll tell you what. There's whole teams of people that are there doing that, and if you go out there with your chainsaw and start lopping the tree, what will happen is that
there'll be someone on your doorstep.
There'll be someone from Boroondara Council on your doorstep because they're going to say, hey, that's our tree. So fair's fair. As I said, the advice that I also gave, if I remember this.
Christmas Eve you're working, Bill.
Well, look, I...
that's dedication.
Well, we had a number of calls and I thought I'd help out.
Yeah,
and
good.
Peter was one of them. But Peter, what you should be doing is getting your ward councillor involved. Telling your ward councillor, this is unsatisfactory. Give me a break. I'm trying to have a discussion with someone at council about this, and you're just denying liability here. And if they continue to do it, as I said to you, you go to your insurance company and say, listen, why can't you pursue this for me? And that's what draw on your insurance. So have the council then come to the party that way.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Peter, and good luck with it. Bill, your company is called Clementstone Town Planners. Your web address is townplanners.com.au, simple as that. And to be in contact, it's info@townplanners.com.au. So easy to remember all of that. You can't go wrong. And lovely to see you again, my friend.
It's great to see you too, mate, and you look well. And we just need king size because we look fine.
We look fine.
Don't worry, we're
the same age. We look after each other.
Good luck, mate.
Thanks, Bill. It's almost 11 o'clock.
You'd love living in your apartment, but it's time to move out.